Good morning. 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 23 and 24. Then Elisha went up from there to Bethel, and as he was going up the road, some youths came from the city and mocked him, and said to him, "Go up, you bald head! Go up, you bald head!" So he turned around and looked at them, and pronounced a curse on them in the name of the Lord. And two female bears came out of the woods and mauled 42 of the youths. He did what? How could a prophet preaching love, how could a God of love, send a she-bear to maul 42 youths? You know, people often challenge God like that. He did what? How could a God of love? So let's consider that challenge of God this morning on the basis of this text. First of all, these were not little tots unaware of what they were doing. The word that's translated youths in our text is the same word that is used of Solomon when he was crowned king at the age of 20. It's used of David after he was already established as a mighty man of valor. These young men, we're furthermore told, had come out from the city of Bethel, a city that depended for its prominence and prosperity on the worship of Jeroboam's golden calf. It was because they wanted to scorn, to humiliate God's prophet, to undermine God's word, that they attacked his person, his lack of hair. But not only were they trying to undermine God's prophet, "Go up, Baldy," was a leering reference to the report that Elijah had just been lifted up into heaven. They were rejecting Elisha's report, the witness of 50 people of this miraculous demonstration by God that everlasting life is through faith in Jesus Christ. You know, the mastermind of this taunt, I think, could have been a very successful political PR agent today. His motto evades the issue, since God showed that he gives eternal life. The issue is, we need to follow him. But instead, it substitutes what man wants on this world for God's eternal plan. This slogan is furthermore a challenge to Elisha. If you think you're going to succeed, Elijah, then you need to prove it to us by going up, and added a threat. We'll help you go. So there was nothing innocent about these taunts, but a despising of God's word, a defending of man doing what is right in his own eyes. He did what? That challenge of God would argue that even if this was justice, where's the love? And yet, such a challenge is attempting to redefine love as man satisfying his selfish desires rather than what is the eternal good for people. God loved them. God loves us enough that he brought an urgent warning. Rejecting the prophet of the Lord is rejecting the Lord. God had indeed foretold before this the consequences of such disobedience. Leviticus chapter 26 says, "If you will walk contrary to me and are not willing to obey me, I will send wild beasts among you, which will rob you of your youth." God loved them enough to fulfill that judgment, urgently calling every one of them to repentance and faith. This distorting of love into man getting what he wants also distorts justice. Think about it. What kind of love is it that allows a serial murderer to walk free without consequence? What kind of love is it that says no person should restrict other people, and so it allows little Johnny to play wherever he wants to till he's run over by a semi? What kind of love is it that says each person should be free to fulfill themselves, and so allows Big Johnny to go on drinking until he confronts a wall at 90 miles an hour? God loves us enough to set the limits. Disobedience, he warns, brings punishment. Yes, and it's not just the 42. It's me and you. How many times have we made excuses to disobey God's word? How many times have we maybe mocked one of God's ministers? Maybe not because he was bald, but because of some other appearance, or because of a poor sermon delivery or an irritating speech habit? Have we found in their sins perhaps even an excuse for our own? How often do we also throw out harmful words like bombs that are blowing up on other people? James 3 warns us that our tongue is like a flaming fire that sets a whole forest on fire. Ephesians 4 warns that our words often become infectious, corrupting love and faith. And so, what do we see in ourselves? I have made excuses, disobeyed, mocked. We deserve divine justice. He did what? There was one time when God did punish the innocent. It wasn't the 42. It was his own son. Yes, Jesus bore the mauling of the 10 billion she-bears of God's wrath on sin, that your sins might be forgiven, that you, like Elijah, might be lifted up unto eternal life with him. So not as a challenge to God, but in amazed appreciation, faith says, he did what? The Father loved you so much, he gave his only beloved Son. The Holy Spirit loves you so much that he continues to witness to the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Jesus loves you so much. He died to forgive your sins. He kept
the commandments, that his own righteousness might be yours. Behold what Jesus has done for you.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen. Hymn 342, stanzas 1 and 5.